This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Please all stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everybody. We're here tonight for two public hearings. We're actually going to go out of order. We're going to do Mr. DePaulo's first, so we don't have to keep him here all evening.
Well, this is a little intimidating. We all set?
We're all here because of yours.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. As we talked about earlier, the new code for downtown, the district listed a time limit for five uses. That time limit has expired. And I want to, I don't think it's fair or legal by a long shot for us to force these businesses out of business because we would be putting them out of business through no fault of their own. So that's why I'm asking the council to strike this time limit from the code. Just take this section and throw it right out. The city will still be protected by the non-conforming uses, because these are non-conforming uses. Will still be protected by the other section in the new code. Any lapse in 90 a day or longer, these businesses will go away. But I just can't see pulling a plug on them. Yes, because they were legal businesses. We changed the rules, so now we can't just throw them out because we changed the rules. But if they lapse for more than 90 days, then they're out. And that's basically it. What I'm asking doesn't have any other ramification. There's nothing else hidden behind it. It's just pulling the five-year term out and just for those five uses. There's really no other change. And that's pretty much it. Any questions? Can I go?
Does anybody from the public have a question on this particular?
Would you please all use your microphone for it on, please?
Does anybody have any questions for this proposed change that are?
If you do, please come up.
Please come up.
I just want to ask, what was it?
Sonia, can you please use the mic?
No thanks.
Bob DiPillo speaks softly, and it's difficult hearing, and so I didn't really hear what he said. And I'm wondering, was anything said about non-conforming use? Did he address non-conforming use?
Yes.
What did he say about non-conforming use? Illegal non-conforming use, better yet.
So, Sonia, and Rob, please correct me if I'm wrong, but the non-conforming use, so, for example, we wouldn't, the downtown district would still have the similar parameters about what's allowed and not allowed, but this change would make it so we aren't forcing existing companies, businesses out. So, like, auto shops, I believe, are one that are restricted non-conforming use, but for whatever reason, our code currently has something of a time frame in which we would push a business out, and Rob DiPaolo is suggesting that we remove that clause so we don't push out a dozen or so businesses.
Do you address the issue of an illegal, a violation happening, and an illegal non-conforming use should be addressed? No ifs, ands, or buts.
Sonia, the code still calls for a non-conforming use, which is stopped being used for 90 days, will lose that status. And at that point, they can be shut down from operating that business, which doesn't fit in that district. But in the meantime, I think the thought is Mr. DiPaolo doesn't want to arbitrarily try to close a legally operating business that predates the downtown district, which borders go all the way up to River Road, down River Road, past Thompson Street. There are multiple businesses that are not, you hear downtown district, you think Webster Street. It encompasses much more than that. But we are still covered, because if they do stop operating their business for 90 days, they lose that use.
What happens after 90 days?
They lose their use. They can no longer operate that type of
business. What should they do before the 90 days?
They can operate legally until that. If they do stop operating for 90 days, they lose that ability.
Well, we do have in our ordinance about something that is non-conforming.
This is in specific relation to the downtown district.
Only downtown.
Correct.
So other than downtown, the rest of North Tonawanda is still going to have to address a non-conforming, or and an illegal non-conforming is even deeper violation.
Right. We're only talking about the changing the downtown district by taking,
okay,
which and Rob alluded to, legally there's a lot of questions about trying to shut down a business that was operating legally before the city changed the code. I don't think it's probably arbitrary that the city just comes up with a five-year window and says, all right, you can't operate anymore. I doubt that that's legal. So we're kind of cleaning this up.
That's not difficult to do. There's a process that happens. I thank you. Our zoning has to really think about our quality of life in North Tonawanda. And I think the reason we have non-conforming is for decades. I mean decades. I've lived here all my life, a lot of years. And non-conforming and violations has not happened. Even when we had our final finding from Justice Vincent Doyle, we still have not had that corrected. Basic minimal regulations were not being followed and continue that way. I don't want to get off the topic. I'm glad you're all here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sonia.
I just have a simple question. I just wanted to know which specific part of the code is being removed, so that section of the code about non-conforming uses indicating the city's preference for investment in businesses.
It's the entirety of code section 103-13, 4H, and it's as presently published, the section reads, number two, the amortization of non-conformity. The following non-conforming uses are subject to the following conditions and must be converted to conforming uses within 5 years of the adoption. And then it goes on to list those businesses. One, junkyards, two, auto service stations, three, scrap metal storage or processing, billboards, outdoor storage of equipment. Non-conforming uses that become a public nuisance through either the decline in appearance, increase in noise, smoke, or vibration are subject to the amortization provisions above.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, my name is Maureen Harding. I live at 261 North Avenue. I am an urban and regional planner. I have a master's degree in urban and regional planning. I don't mind what you're proposing here. I just wanted to comment. And the legislative intent for the district is that it should be a pedestrian-friendly district. The specific uses that are being called legally non-conforming uses are auto-oriented businesses. That's my comment. And my second comment is, which makes them basically in conflict with the legislative intent, and my second comment is that non-conforming uses or any specific zoning ordinance that has procedures for eliminating non-conforming uses is quite typical for any municipality. You will find them in all the zoning codes. It's not unusual, and it's not an arbitrary and capricious type of a decision. And otherwise, we wouldn't have it in the code at all. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to come and speak? Okay. With that, we will move on to the next one.
The next public hearing is a proposed local law number 2 of 2025 entitled Establishing Energy Restrictions and a Nuclear Free Zone.
I'd like to have Mayor Tyler open up.
Thank you, Council President. Good evening, everyone. Let's put a couple smiles on, right? So just a brief statement that I believe all of us up here fall in the same perspective on, and regarding the local law that is currently proposed. So after discussions between my office and the Common Council, we have agreed to propose a local law to address growing concerns among residents and officials regarding the impact of various energy sources on the health, safety, and sustainability of our community. This proposed law aims to provide thoughtful precautionary measures for energy use within the city, encompassing nuclear, coal, natural gas, hydroelectric, wind, and other technologies. While energy innovation plays a crucial role in shaping our future, it is also important to recognize the complex and often unforeseen implications of new energy technologies. It is essential to prioritize the well-being and informed consent of our residents as we navigate the balance between energy development and environmental and public safety. This proposed law is not intended to oppose energy innovation, but rather to ensure that North Tonawanda is not prematurely exposed to potential risks. It serves as a safeguard to allow time for further research, public education, and thoughtful dialogue regarding the full scope of energy technologies and their long-term effects. The law includes restrictions on the construction and operation of new coal, natural gas, hydro, wind, and nuclear energy facilities, ensuring that future developments align with the city's commitment to sustainability and safety. So as public understanding and regulatory clarity continues to evolve, the city will remain open to revisiting these laws in order to thoughtfully embrace new technology or new energy opportunities while ensuring they align with the needs and values of our community. And just as an added piece, we recently were awarded a $135,000 grant to update our zoning codes. So that also is a piece of this whole discussion that will be ongoing as well. So thank you.
At this time, you can come up to the microphone if you have any concerns. There will be a 5-minute time limit. And no, there is no giving your 5 minutes to somebody else. Okay. Only for the person that's coming up, so let's just, we'll clear that out now. Thank you.
Good evening. Richard Clark, 59 Whiting Street, North Tonawanda. I come from a different perspective. I'm not a resident down in the area of the mining plant in Erie Avenue. However, I've gone over there with my wife, and I parked on a sided road when I heard the concerns about the noise. And I hear the noise. I can feel it. I think it's a nuisance. But the perspective I come from is as a city attorney, because I was a city attorney here probably before most of you were born. And I was a county attorney, I was a state attorney, and I was a Supreme Court justice. And I sat on these cases, and I couldn't let it go by without giving the benefit of my thoughts and experience as far as how I think you should approach this. I'm not against this legislation, but I think you got to be very, very careful on how you proceed with this, because it's loaded with landmines. In doing this, you have to proceed, first of all, knowing that you have to rely upon your attorney. If you don't follow your attorney's advice, you've lost already. There are certain things that a city can do, and there are certain things that a city can't do. If you think you're going to regulate how much miles you're going to get from a gallon of gasoline and how much a car is going to be efficient, you're not going to be able to regulate that. If you, as a common council, said we're not going to allow any group homes in North Tonawanda, you know this. You're not going to be able to control that. There are certain things that have been preempted from you. Even, and I dealt with this because I put sex offenders away in prison many, many times. If you, as a common council, were to say we're not going to allow any sex offenders to live in the city of North Tonawanda, you can't do it. It's been preempted by state and federal laws. So in drafting legislation, you have to take into account what you can do that's going to stand up and what you can't do. A case in point, Good Time Charlie's. Anybody remember Good Time Charlie's?
Yeah.
Somebody does here. You're all kids. You don't remember. You remember it. There was a pornographic place on Niagara Falls Boulevard, a peep show, and pornographic material. And the people in Weefield were concerned that people were acting out in that parking lot, correct? And after it opened up, the town of Weefield passed an ordinance saying, we're not allowing that. They were sued and they lost. I was a city attorney in North Tonawanda at the time, and we had to deal with the fact that we can't deny free speech, even for people who want to look at pornography. So we can't say, you can't have a good time, Charlie. What we did is we took the zoning ordinance, Mayor, and we said, you're going to do it, but you're going to do it, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it here. And we have a district, I don't know, Mr. Zabalski, do we still have an RX? I got clever, and I think I may have called it our triple or double X.
RX zone?
RX zone.
No, I don't think we do.
Do we probably still have something in there about adult entertainment?
Well, yeah, similar to the previous topic, discussions about downtown.
We did it in Tonawan Island. And nothing happened. We didn't have it next to a church or a school or a home or a resident. Sonia, by the way, some things haven't changed. She was here when I was a city attorney. She was grinding on me when I was a city attorney. She shared with me the law, and it says no nuclear power plant, no wind turbine. Respectfully, you don't have the ability to say that. It's been preempted and yanked from you. So why would you want to set yourself up to fail?
Judge,
yes.
And you bring up a good point that was discussed actually earlier between a couple of us, is potentially just modifying it to
absolutely
piece and so on. So
I think we are all are on a similar page of, you know, just making sure that, you know, nothing gets ahead of us. But
and you're correct. You're correct, Mayor, to say time is of the essence to do it before it happens, because once the barn doors open, it's hard to get the horse back in there. So you want to work quickly, but by all means, make sure what you pass is going to be correct as soon as you can. What you should do is say, if you're going to do this, if you're going to have a wind turbine, a solar farm, a nuclear power plant, if you're going to have this, you're going to have it where we tell you, because, and here's the key, as a sitting judge for many years who passed on these, judges give broad discretion to the legislative ability of a town and city to control their land through zoning. I think the building inspector, if he were here, would ratify that. You do have a lot of power and discretion in regard to how land is used and where you're going to allow things to occur or not. So I would urge you in passing anything not to try to say, we're not going to allow any wind farms, we're not going to allow any solar panels, we're not going to allow a nuclear power plant. And by the way, having a nuclear power plant next to the people that live in this area would be horrible.
Terrible.
About this, and Ed gave me her attention that we actually met last few days today. We want to pass legislation that'll stick. We want to pass legislation that sticks. So when I know we're talking, it was brought up that we can talk about it can't be within a certain amount of distance from residential areas. Just like you said, where you can
get it to Tonawanda Island. Get it away from the people that live there.
Put it out the old Spalding Parkway out where there's the dump. But not in the middle of my city.
You got it.
About this. So I think the discussion is going to continue. We understand that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm probably over my. Thank you. I'm probably over my 5 minutes. All I have to tell you is that he is a very good city attorney. Listen to your attorney. I tell this to people in my litigants in my courtroom. If you don't listen to your attorney, you've lost already.
No, but you brought some good stuff. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Doug.
John, you can't leave, though.
I can't?
You got to stay for the whole meeting.
Have a good night, John.
Good night.
I'll have my wife call you.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you.
Good evening, Council, Mayor, Ed, Donna. Thanks for the forum tonight to be able to do this. I'm Deb Gondek, residing at 257 Brentwood Drive, where I've lived with my husband for the past 40 years. Seeing all the fantastic improvements in the city over the past 3 years, it's been the best out of the 40 years that we have lived here. We're proud to live in North Tonawanda. Unfortunately, the DigiHost Bitcoin mining operation created a nuisance in 2021. That nuisance has some residents contemplating leaving the area because of the high noise levels and the increased emissions. They're problematic. Then in December, we learned about DigiHost's interest in a micronuclear reactor to power their Bitcoin mining operation. Can you imagine what that would do to property values and the health of residents and the environment? Concerned citizens and outside experts think this proposed microreactor has the potential to make a bad situation even worse. As the Buffalo News accurately stated in their editorial last week, DigiHost is already causing enough harm on Erie Avenue without adding a nuclear reactor. Can we trust a company like DigiHost, who can't even manage the noise problems they created 3 years ago, to manage something as complicated as a nuclear reactor? Knowing there are an inherent risks associated with this type of nuclear technology, which, by the way, is still in development and nothing has been approved, we need protection for residents and the environment. For example, what happens to the spent fuel, which is highly radioactive and will continue to be for hundreds or thousands of years? In a city situated near the Niagara River, Erie Canal, in Tonawanda Creek, contamination of local waterways and our source drinking water is a serious concern. Can we trust DigiHost's partner in this, nanonuclear. Nano is the subject of a class action securities fraud lawsuit. The lawsuit alleges they made false and misleading statements about its progress towards regulatory approval and commercialization of its microreactors and its fuel fabrication plant. The lawsuit states, commercialization timeline was unrealistic, wildly optimistic at best, and most likely impossible. The financial position and prospects were grossly overstated, which has a negative impact on the company's projected revenue and growth. Do we really want a company like this in our city? As a member of the North Tonawanda Climate Smart Communities Task Force, I helped coordinate a community information session last week. Over 100 people attended to learn more about nuclear energy and micronuclear reactors. We're armed with facts that must be taken seriously. Several communities across the U.S. are also starting to see Bitcoin mining companies tout nuclear as their solution to being environmentally friendly. It's a terrible form of greenwashing, which is companies basically claiming to take actions to improve the environment while not addressing what created the environmental issues in the first place. In DigiHost's case, it's their energy-intensive operations and the method they use to verify their Bitcoin transactions. Looking at the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission's existing safety regulations and siting requirements, a microreactor would never be approved in such a densely populated area in such close proximity to residential neighborhoods. However, many are concerned that existing federal regulations could be significantly reduced or even eliminated, as we've seen in recent weeks at the federal level. As a result, local laws become even more important to protect communities when we can't count on the federal or the state government. Back to DigiHost. So instead of reducing their greenhouse gas emissions by addressing their huge energy footprint, DigiHost now chooses to continue their wasteful energy practices and claim to be green by pursuing a nuclear energy option that creates even more risk and, by the way, doesn't do a single thing to address the noise problems. DigiHost CEO lied to all of us in this very room back in 2021 when he promised there would be no noise emitted from their Bitcoin mining facilities. Let's make them prove they have all the facts and all these risks resolved before we even consider their proposed microreactor. I urge every council member to vote yes to approve the proposed law establishing a nuclear-free zone in North Tonawanda. But before you vote, as was just stated, let's make sure we have several experienced municipal law attorneys thoroughly review the draft law and weigh in with their perspectives to make sure our local law contains language that will hold up in court. We don't want just a nice sounding law on the books, we want to be able to enforce it. Let's ensure that North Tonawanda isn't prematurely placed in a position of undue risk or made into a testing ground for technologies that lack comprehensive understanding, regulations, and safety standards. Let's take a stance that makes Nano and DigiHost prove no harm will be done before we let them into our city. And let's protect our community from potential problems while allowing time for further research, education, and dialogue. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Maureen Harding. I live
Hold on one second, Maureen.
Sure.
Folks, I'm going to ask everybody to please stop with the side conversations.
Okay? Yeah, nobody can hear.
Please give everybody the same respect that you would want if you're at the microphone. We all share the same concerns. We all want to get everything aired out and done properly. But having the conversations and side arguments is not going to get us anywhere, okay? So please, when someone's up at the podium, please show respect.
Thank you. My name is Maureen Harding. Again, I live at 261 North Avenue. I'd like to just urge the council to consider this law seriously. I also want to add that I was the one that drafted the initial law. I sent it off to Austin, the mayor, and it was reduced significantly, and it was, he took out all the superfluous stuff like nuclear weapons and that stuff. But and then it was passed on to the council, which added the gas, the wind, and the hydro, I guess it was. After I saw that, I thought to myself, the state law could possibly preempt this. So I asked to have a severability clause added. I based the law on the city of Oneata, who already has a nuclear-free zone and has since the mid-1990s. So I wonder if the judge would probably want to look into that to see if it has been. And Ed, I asked the city attorney to look to make sure that that hasn't been challenged. Also, I don't have a problem with your wind and your hydro and your gas as long as the nuclear part is passed. We cannot have this in the city. And I would just want to correct one thing of Deb's, and that is in the entire city. I'm not talking about in Tonawanda Island. I'm talking about no nuclear microreactors or SMRs, because they have not ever built one in the United States. We would be a guinea pig for a testing zone. I would just want to add that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has proposed new regulations for siting. And what they have done is changed the existing siting law for population density to one that makes studies of risk assessments on how much radiation would be, how population near the reactor could be impacted by what measure of radiation on a yearly basis. That's unacceptable, unacceptable. We already have tons of radiation being next to Manhattan Project and what was the other one? Jerez. We already have too much radiation here already. We're probably one of the most radioactive sites in the whole country, from what I understand. We just don't need any more. And that's all I got to say, I guess.
So, Maureen, just let me make a point.
Sure.
The council and the mayor, we're all in this together.
Right.
We are going to put something forward. That's a commitment. But we have to rely on legal.
Right.
So when you say we add stuff, we didn't add it. We talked to our legal, and we are going to go talk to more legal, because Mr. Clark did come up and say, hey, I'm all for it, but maybe you guys can stop this. So that's what made us go into the where we can put it. Like, you can't within a half mile of any residence.
We have home rule authority.
But the point I'm getting is something's going to happen. We are going to pass something.
I get that.
But we're not, it may not happen next week, because once again, we can't rush into it.
I agree.
All that's not going to stick here. So we are reaching out to many legal. We've called New York State NICOM. We've talked to many people. So we're getting, everybody bring your stuff forward. We're going to
okay. Well, those are my concerns.
We were going to do a moratorium. We realized moratorium only 2-year time frame. But we know we got to change local law. We know.
No, that would be too late.
No, it's not going to be too late, because they're talking 2031.
So I don't care what time they're talking about it. It'll be too late. They can get a license and a permit.
I'm talking. Hold on, please. Do you want to see 10 windmills on their property?
I don't care.
Well, I care.
I know, but I don't care.
So the point is this. We're trying to protect the city as a whole from somebody coming here promising us the Rose Garden.
Like I said.
We got a bag roll home. So our law is going to try and protect not just nuclear. It's going to protect whatever we feel can keep what we don't want in North Tonawanda.
I get that, but I'm really concerned about the nuclear reactor. And I'm willing to give you your concession to do. I concede to your idea of having no wind, no gas, whatever. I just don't want any nuclear reactors.
Sure. Thank you again for assisting. I mean, this is part of all this, right? We have very smart community members out there who oftentimes help our elected officials. So
we even have some nuclear experts.
And the one thing I just couldn't recall, the Oneata, did they specifically have a zone, or
no? It was a local law. It was not a zoning law. It was a local law, not in the zoning. However, the zoning law did refer to it at the beginning of their zoning code. It's a local law, separate and apart from the zoning. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Maureen.
Yep. Thank you. City of Oneata. One.
O N E O N T A.
Thank you. Any more questions? Sure.
Thank you.
My name's Len Zimrak. I live at 1303 Ivy Green Court. I think everybody agrees that you people are against nuclear energy being here. I loved what the judge talked about. He had some very good points. One of the things you may not, or there is no nuclear storage facility for spent nuclear fuel in the entire United States. There's 176 sites that take their nuclear energy and they put it in stainless steel, concrete encased casks and store it on their property. I'm just wondering if it might not be a good idea to look at it from that perspective, where if you put these nuclear things in, or you think you're going to, we won't allow you to store any nuclear spent fuel on your property. By the way, the federal government just asked for bids for these things to put up at Fort Drum, because they have their own power supplies. Now, the other thing is, one of the things you might think about, I understand from nanotechnologies write-ups that this thing would be artificially intelligence monitored. There'd be no technicians on site. It would shut down if there was a problem, supposedly. With that, I thank you very much for your concern.
Sir, what was your name again? The clerk was just asking.
Leonard Zimrak, Z-E-M-R-A-C.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Roth, and I live at 640 Wurlitzer Drive. And it's more of a question. How regulated are the Bitcoin thing that we have there now? Because there is no question, every Thursday morning when I'm walking, like during the spring and the summer, my son to Ohio school, there is an awful smell. There is an awful, I've even called National Fuel on it because I thought it was like a gas leak at first. And it's sometimes it's Wednesday mornings, but it's typically Thursday mornings. I notice it when I'm walking my son to school. I notice it when I'm jogging the neighborhood. So I'm assuming it's from that Bitcoin thing. Do they run on certain days?
It's actually not. It's the Battenfield Oil Company.
Which is across the street from Meadow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I smell it too on the way to
depending
work.
Depending on the wind.
Okay.
Okay,
that's why. So obviously, I'm very concerned about this nuclear plant, and if we're smelling these chemicals for other things, it's
not that site.
No, it isn't.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jack Kanack, K-A-N-A-C-K, 84 South Meadow Drive, North Tonawanda. Some speakers before me stole some of my thunder, but I'd like to just say I'm in support of you supporting the bill. And part of some things that I'd like to expand upon that weren't mentioned is that some of these isotopes that the company could use to produce nuclear power could remain active for thousands or millions of years. And like the gentleman over here said, that everything is stored on site. It's not shipped off a site. So my question is, who's going to watch over this for thousands of years? Who's going to be around watching for it? Who's going to pay for this? What happens if the nuclear waste, if we had some, falls into the wrong hands? Also not mentioned were I found out in this informational meeting put out by Deb Begondek on Wednesday that insurance, if there is a nuclear disaster, insurance will not cover nuclear claims. So the homeowners have to be aware of that as well. And I just like you to consider those points when you look at a law. And I'm wondering if something could be put in if someone decides to do something like nuclear, whether through bonding or something, they could be held responsible for how it's going to be stored indefinitely. And that's
they're good points, Jack.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those are my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
there anybody else that would like to come up to speak?
Thank you for this opportunity tonight. I am Ron Villa, 753 Lee Avenue. I am here in opposition to the law as it is currently written. I'm not saying that I'm completely opposed to what you're trying to accomplish. Where I'm a little conflicted is that in the mayor's letter, he talks about providing thoughtful precautionary measures to prioritize the well-being and informed consent of our residents and serving as a safeguard to allow time for further research, public education, and thoughtful dialogue. What I'm reading in the law doesn't appear to fulfill that those goals. We have an outright ban on all forms of new energy generation. I think I understand now the reason for the prohibition on the working with or storage of radioactive material being a concern for the spent fuel, but I think we need to take a little more time and be more thoughtful about this. I also am wondering about the regulations regarding transportation of materials through or over the city. What effect would existing state or federal regulations play in that, and what impact would they have on our responsibility? How are the companies who may need to transport such material through or over our city find out about our laws? Is there a federal or state requirement requiring them to contact every jurisdiction they might pass through? And what if it's an airplane flying over the city? Are we going to start tracking down every flight that crosses in our airspace? Because the law does say through or over our city. Additionally, there's a requirement that I think is unreasonable that they publish for 4 weeks specific details about the use or the transportation of their material. And I know at the meeting last week that some are concerned about what if radioactive material were stolen and used for some nefarious purpose. And yet if we are having them publish the precise schedule, means of transport, and route of transport, that would seem to increase the risk of such a problem. I'm also wondering about the prohibition from purchasing or leasing, quote, any goods or services provided by companies involved in the production of hazardous radioactive materials, and goes further to require any bidders on a city contract to certify by affidavit whether it or any of its subsidiaries or parent companies are involved in such activities. I don't see where that aligns with making our city safer. What's the purpose behind that? How is this related to providing thoughtful precautionary measures for energy use? And have you any idea on how many vendors this will eliminate from use by the city? I know there's a provision that says that if there's no other option, we can use them, but why set this in the law in the first place? And I also wonder what impression that requirement gives to a company that's seeking to do business with the city. Are they going to look at that and go, hey, this is a great idea, or maybe I don't want to work with them? The Climate Smart Task Force is tasked in the law to hold hearings, issue reports, and make recommendations to the Common Council as it deems appropriate, which I'm concerned about the lack of specificity there. It's easy for someone to not deem it appropriate to do anything. They're to educate the public, determine means of implementation, and evaluate compliance. Why are we giving that responsibility to an advisory board that was established for the city? Last week's meeting at the Carney Garrett Center was a bit of a disappointment. I was there. In the promotional emails and things that I saw, it was going to be a community information session for residents to learn more about the new technology. And while we did talk about nuclear generation and some of the technology behind it, it seemed to me to be more of a strategy session for how we can defeat DigiHost and drive them out of our city. My impression was that it was more than just a thoughtful dialogue on energy technologies. I would say that if we're going to prioritize the well-being and informed consent of our residents, we need to hear from both sides of this discussion. I was disappointed that night to learn that no one from Digi or Nano was invited to present their side to the meeting. I think it would have been helpful if we could have heard their side of this memorandum of understanding they've signed. I fear maybe we may be reacting to the situation with Digi and not responding to the situation with Digi. The small reactor that Digi and Nano are talking about, as has been noted, doesn't even have a final design, and it might not be a viable product for 7 to 10 years, if ever. So why are we rushing into a law for something that might not be a problem for a long, long time? I would just ask that you slow the work being done to take an appropriate amount of time to develop and implement a better strategy that has clearly defined and measurable goals, responsible parties, and specific timelines to do the further research, public education, and encourage thoughtful dialogue on energy technologies. Then we can talk about the changes that we might need to make to better enhance the life of our city. Thank you.
So Ron, if I could just, sure. And this was great, honestly, very thoughtful comments. And I think we're all up here absorbing all the constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. So I really do appreciate it. And you brought up a lot of good points, which I'm not going to address all of them. It's right now.
Understood.
But just the main highlight of, one, we want to hear the feedback. Again, that's part of the public process here. But two, part of the idea with the local law was to simplify it a bit. Oneonta is quite extensive. Maureen referenced nuclear weapons, mm-hmm. and so on. So we tried to make it a little bit more simple, just to, you know, maybe put the ease in everyone's minds that the city is taking it seriously and wants to hit the brakes more or less. And part B of that is, you know, moratorium is good, but then you got to do all the work. And if no one does the work during the moratorium, mm-hmm. then it kind of fizzles out, and then something could always potentially slip in. This solidifies the idea more, and just like the creation of a local law, the local law can always be modified too.
Understood.
Right? So it could change, mm-hmm. you know, monthly, if a new item, that goes for any.
Let's hope not.
It's not a great process, but you know, I think it's just a shared understanding of the community's concerns and education that we all want to have.
Yeah. With a moratorium, you said you have to do the work. What are you referring to?
Usually, for example, like there's a moratorium on solar. We had a solar moratorium for a time period. Mm-hmm. In that time, actually, Maureen, again, assisted the Climate Smart Task Force, which, you know, they're advisory. They're not a voting piece of right. the city, and a lot of diverse people with different backgrounds and so on. But, you know, and then brought it to the city, the council, was approved, signed off on, and so on. So moratorium, you know, law, approval, and so on. But that was a little bit more of a complicated process, and there wasn't such an initial concern, I would say, like a speedy concern, if that makes sense.
It does. Just a point, there was one last point, and I'll be done. As I've done research, there's been none that I'm aware of, nuclear accidents in the United States from any power plant that caused the release of radiation into environment. And as the gentleman made the point on Wednesday, we have, and I checked, our Navy has 60 ships that are powered by nuclear power, and there have been no accidents with them as well. So I think there is a history and a technology that is something we should consider. I'm not saying rubber stamp it, yes or no. I'm just saying let's be open to the possibility, especially with the CLCPA and the state and the requirement for green energy. Nuclear really is the ultimate green energy because there's no emissions. Yes, there's waste. It can be dealt with. But let's be careful and cautious. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very good.
Hi, my name is Sue Zobrist. I live at 16 Hamilton Court, and I'm probably going to be repeating a lot of things that have already been said, but I'll try to get through it. I'll try to skip over some to not repeat, but I tried to type it earlier and my computer wasn't working, so I believe, and I think a lot of my fellow North Tonawanda citizens believe, allowing nuclear power in our city poses significant risks and challenges that outweigh any potential benefits. These concerns span environmental, economic, social, and safety dimensions. Safety, despite modern safety measures, nuclear power always carries the risk of accidents. Even a minor radiation leak could endanger residents' health and devastate the local environment. North Tonawanda lacks the advanced emergency response infrastructure to manage any nuclear disaster effectively. We talked about the environmental and the waste that it would be stored on site, and which potentially, who knows how long it would take to clean that up. The presence of nuclear power can significantly reduce property values, as was mentioned, as potential buyers may perceive the area as unsafe. Our city, which has been doing a great job of building up our tourism, recreation, and our economy, I know the mayor said they want to build up our property values and protect our property values, but they may suffer economically due to fears surrounding radiation or environmental degradation. Our residents value our city, our lifestyle in North Tonawanda, and strongly oppose the presence of nuclear power so close to homes. At a population, which I'm not sure if I understood, almost 300 times what's appropriate. Let's see. The presence so close to the facility would likely lead to community division and long-term dissatisfaction disrupting our city's social fabric. I'm sure there's got to be better alternatives that exist. I know we said we didn't like solar power, or the windmills, but I'd much rather see that than any kind of nuclear power. In conclusion, we ask the Common Council and our mayor to reconsider any ill-advised decision that expresses the community to unnecessary risks, burdens, and disruptions. This company, as was already stated, has already proved they cannot control the noise and their emissions. So they should not be allowed to bring nuclear power to our city. Safer, more sustainable energy should be prioritized. And I also would like you to consider an old Iroquois belief of looking seven generations ahead. This is the practice of considering how current decisions will impact future generations, up to seven generations in the future, when making decisions, ensuring sustainability and responsible stewardship of the land and resources for those yet to be born. And that's all I have to say.
Kristen Derby, 98 Niagara Street. First of all, just want to say I am in support of this law. I echo Maureen's sentiments that I wish that alternative energies that are actually sustainable were omitted from this, but willing to concede that to ensure no nuclear. Vehemently oppose this in our city. I've invested my life here. I have many decades ahead of me. I do not want to be exposed to radiation or the threat of it any more than already exists in Western New York. However, my main question is, what is the city's focus on enforcement of this? Because already this business has indicated that they don't listen to our laws. I can just think off the top of my head, decibels seem to be in violation constantly. So is there any tooth to this law with the expectation that the company could come in, set up, and start operating?
Kristen, just like any law, any law, like you can't build a McDonald's in a residential neighborhood, we just wouldn't allow it to happen. I mean, thankfully it doesn't turn into some riot and big battle in those situations, but there's a discussion and an understanding. So the enforcement would be handled whatever way necessary, whether police, code enforcement, the attorney's office. I mean, there's various methods depending on the situation. So, yes.
All right, just wanted to know the city's commitment to actually enforcing their laws. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Mark Mullen, 446 Roncroft Drive. I'm definitely in favor of this law if worded in the correct way, legally, et cetera, would you get through there? going back, what was it, 3.5 years ago when all the Star with DigiHost and the CEO, you know, and their group did come at that session. Most of what the CEO had promised, no noise, big paying jobs, remember that? Don't worry about the water concerns. Don't worry about the transport coming in when they're going to switch over to natural gas. Well, that obviously hasn't happened. And the residential, you know, concerns and so on. And just say, giving the track record of that individual, I don't know if he still is the CEO. I mean, there's two people up in this panel, Austin and Frank, who voted against it. I wish there was one more vote, because we wouldn't be even discussing this right now. So if hopefully we're heading in a more unanimous direction with the right wording. Another question I have is, big projects like this, many times companies file for bankruptcy and close up shop. Tonawanda Coke comes to mind immediately. And if that happens, and the gentleman, Jack, who right. talked about the storage sites and so on, that, you know, now if you have nuclear fuel spent, buried on Erie Avenue, who's going to pay to get rid of it? And where are they going to ship it if no one in the world really wants it? So just another, you know, it's a doomsday type thing, but, well, we got the resident our own backyard too, you know. That went south too. So I just throwing that out there as those what ifs. Companies do go under. I mean, going to Eastern Ohio with all the rubber companies and that, they have a lot of nightmares down there, so a lot of brownfields. Just food for thought.
Good evening. My name is Richard Dunning. The mayor knows me. I may not be the brightest bulb in this package, but my question is, who approved this Bitcoin place in the first place? I didn't know anything about it until it was built and people were complaining about noise. All right, and as far as using nuclear energy, we live next to the Niagara River, which hosts the biggest hydroelectric facility in the state. Why are we looking at nuclear with all its dangers when we have electricity? Why? Say what?
Big question there, Richard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's alternatives, various energy sources, you know, new technology and so on. So we,
Louder, please.
Like other municipalities, we have to just navigate new technologies. That's what it comes down to. And some things work, some things don't work so well for others. And I mean, there's pros and cons with every energy source too. Whether it's, you know, maybe the aquatic life with hydro, maybe where do we put solar panels when they go past their lifespan, the waste with nuclear, emissions with coal. I mean, nothing is 100% perfect. So it's our job as public officials to navigate and make sure that we put everything in place so we protect our community.
Mm. Because for me, the nuclear waste, there are places that they take it. Coal mines, abandoned coal mines, which are 2 miles deep. And they cover it up. I've read about it. So it's the transportation of the waste, especially in the world we live in today with terrorism and everything else. Who ever thought somebody would fly a plane into a building and kill hundreds of people? It's the transportation that worries me. All right, I'm very sorry to take up your time. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to come up and speak? Go once? Twice? All right. We will close. Okay.
I haven't seen the seats look like this at all. It's usually like this
One, maybe two at the most. This is terrific. I have to ask you right off the bat, are you tape recording this so if anybody wants an audio copy, they can...
We're videoing it. Yes,
we are taping it, and it goes up tomorrow morning on the website and my Facebook page.
And is it being on video?
Yes.
Anybody wants to listen to this, they just go on to Facebook?
And our website.
Website. Thank you.
You can go on the website tomorrow and click on video. Give me maybe half a day.
Turn your microphone on, please, Mrs.
My microphone is on. It'll be up there tomorrow, and you just click on videos, and it'll take you right to it.
When you're at the home, website, where do you go from there?
Video.
Give Donna a call tomorrow, she'll talk you through it step by step.
My name is Sonia Duza. I live at 123 Miller Street. Very good comments. A lot of people have said, I'm so glad to see so many people here. Thank you, fellow citizens, concerned citizens. I'm weighing. First of all, what's the benefit if we allow this in this operation to be in North Tonawanda? What's the benefit? Anyone?
Of operation of alternative energy sources? Or?
What's the benefit for allowing this use to be in our community?
Sonia, I apologize. I don't know what you mean by with the nuclear, digi-host, wind, what benefit of which item?
What's the benefit of having this particular use, this business in our community? We need businesses, bakeries, a lot of basic things. We need a lot. And I'm wondering, for this operation, this business, what is the benefit to we, the citizens here, having this in our community?
Nuclear.
We're talking about the law. Do you have any comments towards the law itself?
I'm talking.
It's not a question and answer. This is, if you have comments on what we're talking about, adapting this local law, that's what this is for.
Let me tell you then where I'm coming from. What's the benefit? The scales. What's the benefit? What's the risk? I know the risks are such, I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want to even see it in the state, period. So that's why I'm asking, what's the benefit? What's the weight? And what's the weight of a risk? I've been hearing the risk is like this, very high risk to our quality of life, our health. I mean, that is so basic. You don't have to be a PhD, anything like that. That's why I'm asking, what do you see this as the benefit?
We're not here to talk about what our opinions are. So we're here to talk about what the law is, the concerns we have all expressed that we share in the exact same concerns as everybody else in this room. We understand that we are navigating through how to handle this, how to protect the city of North Tonawanda, and how to do it the right way so that we don't get jammed up later on if something happens and it's not done the proper way.
I'm asking this, and it also indicates to me how much you know about it, or are you aware of the risk and benefits? That's why I ask, what's
Sonia,
the benefit? Yes, moving along.
We're extremely aware of what's going on. We have been doing a lot of research since this has come out. The council, the mayor, we have been in constant contact almost daily discussing this with the city attorney, with outside sources, with NICOM. We didn't start this today, okay? This is why there's a public hearing tonight, because we took the initiative to talk about making law changes. We, the mayor,
you're
the
our
council,
representatives. We would expect that.
Excuse me. We are the ones, the reason why the public hearing is here tonight is because it was our idea to enact this type of legislation to protect the city of North Tonawanda. So what we're doing is we're allowing people to come in with their concerns for or against the same opinion. That gentleman there brought up some great things that we didn't even discuss or talk about.
Right? I appreciate that. I appreciate it.
It's not about the personal feel. We have to act in best interest of the residents of North Tonawanda. So again, that's why we enacted this law suggestion. This is why we are the ones that are bringing it to you so you can bring it to us.
And that's why the question of benefit. Also, have we not learned...
Sonia, and I'm sorry, your timer has gone on, so you are finished.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Sonia. Is there anybody else?
I just thought
I'd clarify perhaps what Sonia's point is, and I don't know if this is.
Can you say your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not a North Tonawanda resident. I'm an. My name's Ann Finner, and I live at 69 Crowley Avenue in Riverside, Buffalo. I'm closer to here than downtown Buffalo, I think, but. Anyway, I think what she is pertaining to, and I don't know if it's included in the law, but it seems to me that any government of any, you know, size is interested in the public good. So I think her question pertained to what does a company bringing in an energy source like this have to do with the public good of North Tonawanda. This is a private concern. It's his private company. So what public good does bringing in that energy do for North Tonawanda? I think that, is that appropriate, or is that?
So, it's a complicated question because, I mean, private companies, they're business, and they want to grow their business, and depending on who you ask, some people agree with certain items, some don't. I mean, my understanding is nuclear is really a way to reach these very aggressive climate action goals in New York State, and a lot of businesses are trying to find alternative ways to do so. So it's hard for us to really tell businesses how they get their energy and so on, but the concern really just comes down to our community, neighborhoods, residents, right, and so on. So
is it counter to the public good? That would be a question.
Does it counter
the public good is the question. I guess that's the question you guys have to figure out.
Exactly.
So,
this isn't going to be definitive. It sounds like we are going to revise some of the language in here and just make sure that we're on top of it and being proactive for all these items.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good evening. My name is Frank Lorendi. I know some of you. I've recently been appointed to the North Tonawanda Noise Ordinance. What's that?
Address, please.
Oh, 794 Degler Drive. And I just want to give kudos to this Common Council, okay? They're addressing the nuclear problems before they happen. Okay. Now, maybe the last Common Council didn't address the problems with digital hosts coming here, but I want you to know this Common Council is addressing the noise issues. Okay. We are going to have a monitoring and enforcement department set up. We are going to address the noise problems that's coming from that facility, thanks to this Common Council, okay? I'm meeting with the police chief tomorrow. I'm gonna meet with Mr. Zabalski soon and the zoning chairman, and we are gonna have a monitoring enforcement department set up. The police are our first line of defense. They have to be trained. We have to have the equipment, and we do have the equipment to monitor the noise.
Frank, I appreciate the kudos, I really do, because it doesn't really happen often.
I know. And I know this doesn't have anything to do with it. Yeah.
But we have to keep it on.
I just wanna say that, okay. Okay, I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. Just wanna let everybody know we're addressing those. Thanks to you guys. Okay.
Appreciate
it. Okay.
Wait.
What's that?
I keep your
fibers, keep doing that.
Is there anybody else that would like to come up to the podium and speak? Anybody else? Now remember, we are talking about this law and this law only.
Yes. I'm Tom Weisbeck, representing my brothers on Master Street. 1425. I would say you're thinking about, you know, the judge proposed moving it someplace else. Well, that'd be very difficult to move that plant. I mean, you got two, the lines going there is 115,000 volts.
I think he meant that more of it as an example.
An example, I understand that. Like, the, my understanding, they, did you hope purchase some more land? Is that true?
They bought a side lot so they can make a side entrance driveway, and that's all they did.
Okay.
That's all they did.
It wasn't a tremendous amount of land, just a small, they couldn't put windmills or anything.
That's why
I thought you put that stuff in.
They made driveways so they can go off of the Wilshire.
The meadow
extension instead of coming off of Erie. They thought they'd help the noise. We don't want to discuss that now, but like Frank said, we're addressing it.
Okay. Well,
that. I think Ed is talking about location of like a nuclear reactor potentially. You have to put it in the middle of the city. If anything, you can say you can put them on Tonawanda Island, for example, if we want it there. But we're saying not in the middle of the city.
We don't want it anywhere. We don't want any nuclear reactor.
No, we know that, but we gotta word the local law so it sticks. And you're gonna be dealing with federal and state level too, because the states obviously pushing for something, right? We know that, so we gotta be careful. Everybody up here is committed to doing something. I mean, we are. We don't like this.
And we're not specifically saying we're okay with it at any particular place. The thought is, upon further research, what can we and what can't we regulate? What are we preempted by state and federal government? But the one thing we always have control over is where. So if at worst case scenario, it's a question of where.
Okay.
Now, that's a question yet to be determined, and we don't know the answer to that. And I think everybody up here is committed to this, the strictest, at very least, the strictest law possible.
Have you talked to the PSC?
I have not.
How about the governor's office?
I've spoken with NICOM and a couple of...
Who's NICOM?
It's a New York Conference of Mayors. It's an advisory board that we get advice from different attorneys on staff. They're municipal law experts. My next call would be, and I can't tell you the agency, but there's a liaison for the state through the Federal Energy Department, and I'd like to talk to them.
FERC?
Them tomorrow.
NYSERDA?
It may very well be NYSERDA.
Try FERC too, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission,
And I'm very interested in seeing what Boniana did. Absolutely, and has that law been changed if they, in fact, have something very comprehensive.
So
my point, I'm going to piggyback on what Judge said, you can all tell, we're all very interested, and we want to protect everybody, but we have to do it right. And thankfully, I think we have a little bit of time. So my concern is I don't want to see us rush into something and not do it correctly. Let's take a breather. Let's not overreact. Let's be responsive, not reactive, and do something that not only just covers this issue. Since we've been on the council, solar has been an issue. Windmills haven't. Frank brought up a good point. We've got the Niagara River with current that goes crazy. Nobody's thought about putting a water mill over there.
They used to have Huntley there. They had Huntley there.
Sure.
Took a lot. They still take a ton of water, feed all that industry down River Road.
We're not singling anybody out. This is now something that came to the forefront that raises concerns, and we're going to try and tackle a couple issues at one time, but do it correctly.
Okay, what about the fines for noise ordinance? I'm just asking. I'm sorry.
In my opinion, we're far from a finished product.
Okay. I'm for $250 for noise. It's for Bitcoin's worth. What is it worth? Over $100,000 for one Bitcoin? Right? I'm just throwing it out there. I'm sorry to wander off the topic. But as a community, most of the people here are opposed to it. So I hope you put that good thought, talk to good lawyers, So there's more issues to be resolved on this before it's done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to come up?
My name is Kurt Klepp. I live at 1295 Erie Avenue, which is right down the street from the Bitcoin mining place. but by not even a quarter mile. As far as the noise,
Mr. Klepp, we're not talking about the noise tonight. We're
okay,
talking about
I'm getting to that. Okay, I know nuclear power is the cleanest form of energy. The problem is, and I agree with all these people that have said, there are too many drawbacks. The waste, we don't know where that's going to go. They still haven't figured out how to eliminate it. It is active for thousands of years. So until we figure that out, now, I don't know what our military does with it. I know that aircraft carriers and nuclear power subs, they don't have any problems that I've never heard of or ever been on any part of the news. So as far as I know, they never had a problem. They had to change their nuclear rods when they're supposed to, so they don't have a meltdown. But what about these people who we don't know? I don't know who these people are from Bitcoin. I don't know who they are. I don't trust them because we have forced them to put those sound barriers up. Now, I don't hear all this noise. I'm only a quarter mile away. I don't hear all this racket. Even when I drive down there, I don't hear it. But then I'm hearing it's like at ridiculous times of the day, like 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that. So they may be that noisy. I don't know. As far as emissions, I haven't seen the emissions. You're right about Battenfield, though. They do. And ever since I've lived over there, since the early 90s.
We're going off the topic again.
Yeah, okay. Just because people are complaining about it. I hear about it all the time. So anyway, I don't think if this is this. Now, this, my question is, this power project benefits just Bitcoin, right? It don't go to, it's not proposed to give any power to anybody else except for them, right?
The nuclear subject came up because of the article.
They want it. They're the ones that want
it. We're not talking about nuclear just because of digital. We're talking about other power sources as well.
Ah, okay.
To keep our community safe.
Because
do we know any of the details about their plans? No, we don't.
The thing is, there's just too many variables, and because man's hand is in it, it can be screwed up. That's all I got to say. As long as man's hand's in it, it can be screwed up. So, thank you.
The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.